relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Recognized for an additional 30 seconds.
Cause of the servitude, sharing in the profession with those who have not come before you. Similar times of trying medical need, wars and flus pass. You will see darkness, you will be pushed, and our society needs you. To our doctors and our nurses, I wear these laces.
The gentlelady's time has expired. The gentleman from Maryland is reserved. The gentleman from Texas is recognized. The gentleman from Texas is now recognized. The gentlelady from Michigan is out of order.
Gentle lady, I'm not sure that quite covers it. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network across the nation with the latest news. All you need to know about the Wuhan Chinese coronavirus and the insanity, the sheer insanity, man. On Capitol Hill. No, that wasn't an Antifa protester. That wasn't some pink pussy hat cat wearing crazy woman. That was a member of Congress. It's funny that these people you've never heard of suddenly creep into the limelight like that. That is Congresswoman Haley Maria Stevens, Democrat from Michigan, screaming like a banshee, like a woman possessed today, as the coronavirus aid package was passed finally, 5 days late, thanks to Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats on Capitol Hill, and is now being very ceremoniously, very dramatically forwarded physically to the White House for the president to sign into law. Welcome, my friends. We have lots of unbelievable audio like that for you, thanks to Mr. G. We have an incredible lineup for you today. It's Friday. That means it's Ask Dr. G Anything Friday. It also means that it is Second Amendment Friday in collaboration with our great partners at GunBroker.com, my favorite site for all things gun-related. We will have John Solomon with us this hour. We will have Jim Carafano. I just recorded an hour-long special interview with him for our exclusive Gorka's Cabinet subscription service, but he will be in studio to discuss the coronavirus threat and the response. Terry Shapert on Second Amendment issues, our favorite Green Beret, and then we will be talking across the pond. They say Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the UK, has tested positive for the coronavirus, but he's not letting it get him down because he has that old bulldog spirit, and we'll be talking to British radio host, one of the best, Mike Graham from Talk Radio. Our number here is 833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A, 833-334-6752 to call the show. We can unlock the lines now. And I just mentioned our new voicemail service yesterday, thanks to Patriot Mobile. And my gosh, you guys, I just mentioned it twice, I think. Yesterday, you left 33 voicemails by the end of the show on your experiences of dealing with the shutdown and your take on our nation's response to the coronavirus. God bless you all. If you want to leave a voicemail, this is the voicemail line that we will use on the show, then you can call that Patriot Mobile number, 703-585-3668. The exclusive PatriotMobile.com text line number is 703-585-3668. Now, the biggest news of the last 24 hours, and it is big news, is what happened yesterday with regards to dire predictions of the mortality rate of the Wuhan coronavirus. We now know that one study has had the greatest influence on the US, the UK, and many national responses to this pandemic. And it was written by one individual, not a team of scientists, but one professor from Imperial College in London called Niall Ferguson. And in it, he predicted for the UK alone, which is a nation of about 65, 70 million people, that the UK would suffer 500,000 deaths, according to his projections of how lethal the Wuhan Chinese coronavirus is. That dire prediction was fed into the White House, CDC, the US government, state governments, the UK government. And just this week, the author said, it might not be that bad. He has revised his projections from 500,000 dead in one country alone to maybe 20,000. Now, I was pretty poor at math. I'm more of a kind of words and visuals guy. But the difference between 20,000 and 500,000 is not a factor of 2 or 5 or 10. It's getting it wrong by a factor of 25. 25 times wrong. And that's one of the greatest influences on policies across the world. Well, just listen to the woman who knows better and who flamed that moron into non-existence. This was last night in the Presidential Coronavirus Response Team briefing. Dr. Deborah Birx on how wrong the models are. Dr. Birx, cut 4.
I'm sure many of you saw the recent report out of the UK about them adjusting completely their needs. This is really quite important. If you remember, that was the report that said there would be 500,000 deaths in the UK and 2.2 million deaths in the United States. They've adjusted that number in the UK to 20,000. So 500,000 to 20,000. We're looking into this in great detail to understand that adjustment. I'm going to say something that's a little bit complicated, but I'm going to try to do it in a way that we can all understand it together. In the model, either you have to have a large group of people who are asymptomatic, who've never presented for any test, in order to have the kind of numbers that were predicted, to get to 60 million people infected, or of 6 million people infected. You have to have a large group of asymptomatics, because in no country to date have we seen an attack rate over 1 in 1,000. So either we're only measuring the tip of the iceberg of the symptomatic cases, and underneath it are a large group of people. So we're working very hard to get that antibody test, because that's a good way to figure out who are all these people under here and do they exist. Or we have the transmission completely wrong. So these are the things we're looking at, because the predictions of the models don't match the reality on the ground in either China, South Korea, or Italy. We are about 5 times the size of Italy. So if we were Italy and you did all those divisions, Italy should have close to 400,000 deaths. They're not close to achieving that. So these are the kinds of things we're trying to understand. Models are models. We're adapting now to the reality. There's enough data now of the real experience with the coronavirus on the ground to really make these predictions much more sound. So when people start talking about 20% of a population getting infected, it's very scary. But we don't have data that matches that.
Models. What did she say there? Models are just models. Absolutely right. It's not a criticism of Dr. Birx, but did you hear her choice of words? The adjustment. From 500,000 dead to 20,000. Quite an adjustment. If that model were right, 400,000 people should be dead in Italy. Back with John Solomon here on America First.
Portions of America First are sponsored by Moral Compass LLC's No Safe Spaces movie.
Remember when men were men and the Democrats weren't lunatics? It's time to make America great again with our nation's most beloved legal immigrant, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Thank you, Mr. Connery. Most kind. Yes, indeed, your favorite legal immigrant here on the nation's newest national radio show, America First. It's a quick reminder, but an urgent one. Our Food for the Poor campaign ends in just 3 days' time. The humanitarian crisis of hunger in Guatemala will continue unless you help today. Please support the children that need your help. Go to sebgorka.com and click on the Feed the Starving Families banner. The need is truly critical, as Food for the Poor's executive director, Angel Aloma, tells us.
Every one of those little children who are starving have grandparents who think they're the most beautiful children and the most intelligent children in the world. We have to do something about this situation. We have to do it, not tomorrow, not 2 days later, because life will get in the way and we'll forget. We have to do it now.
Angel will be on the program later, but now, please, take it just takes a couple of minutes to literally save lives. Just go to our website, sebgorka.com, sebgorka.com, or call 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. $27 a month will provide food and clean drinking water for a family of four. Be a modern missionary in this Lenten period. Please help today. Our first guest of the day is a regular friend of the program. Look, it's cool to have worked in the White House as strategist to the president. It's cool to have a national radio show. But you know what's also cool? To have a buddy who is his own news agency. He's a media mogul. His name is John Solomon, and he has created the new incredible website. It's called Just the News. I hear some amazing figures, John, that you've shared with me. I don't know if you can share them openly, but you are going from strength to strength. Is that right?
We're really just been amazed by the reaction of the American people. We're getting about 250,000 visitors a day already.
Wow.
People are coming in, watching videos, engaging stories. We're just so blessed to have the audience, and we're going to work really hard to keep that trust and earn it and grow it over the years. But, yeah, it's been off to a very good start.
Well, look, you have proven yourself over the years to be one of the most reliable, real journalists out there that's actually
doing what we used to call investigative journalism, whether it's Russiagate or whether it's just general corruption on Capitol Hill. Now, it must be, it's so interesting to be in that kind of management position. You're still writing, but now you have this whole team working under you. That must give you a special perspective on what is happening in the media in general. I kind of cynically, not quite, but kind of got used to the insanity of Trump derangement syndrome in the last 3.5 years. But, John, to see reports from your quote-unquote colleagues at other agencies that are still up, that haven't been deleted, that say person dies because he takes the medicine that President Trump told him to take, when we're talking about
an irresponsible report that was.
Just explain to us how that makes you feel as now the head of Just the News.
Well, listen, I remember when I was a very young AP reporter. This goes back to the late 1980s, and I had a couple of mentors who had been in the profession for 40 years, and one of the things they always said is the most important thing for a journalist, particularly when you're in a war zone, when you're in a crisis, when you're covering a big hurricane or devastation, don't let the emotion, don't let your personal opinion, don't let your self-aggrandizement get in the way of staying neutral and just giving people the facts. Don't pick winners, don't pick losers. We have an entire generation of self-aggrandizing journalists who think they are the story,
right,
who let their emotion go, who try to stretch to the worst possible scenario before we know that's possible. And it's playing out. We've seen it, you know, we saw it in Russia. We saw it in impeachment. But in this coronavirus crisis, this pandemic, we have seen the worst version of journalism. People sounding off on opinion, sounding like experts when they don't have a medical degree. And in almost every instance, trying to find something that either debunks President Trump or gives the worst case scenario when the worst case scenario has not yet played out. It's bad for America. It's bad for my profession, and it's shameful for the environment we find ourselves in. It's a serious matter we're in, but the reporters are not covering it in a serious way.
You've shared with us your backstory, how you come from a family of police officers, and how you experienced real life early on working in those fields. I'm just curious, when you're hiring people, is a degree from a journalism school a negative black mark for you? Do you want people who've lived in the real world? What is your take on what makes for a good journalist today?
I think being grounded. Listen, you can go to J school, you can not go to J school. You can write really well, you could write okay. Your heart has to be in telling the truth, and it has to be in staying neutral. And if you're not a neutral truth teller, you don't belong in the profession anymore. And we have too many today that have made the object of enforcing their own political opinion the object of their reporting, and that's what has ruined the profession. And also, not only ruined the profession, it's ruined the trust that the public has in journalism. And that's unfortunate, because I know that good journalism practice well makes a difference. But right now, it's not cutting through. It's not reverberating, because Americans have such a grave distrust of my profession.
And theoretically, this should be something that, I guess, polices itself. When something as egregious as, you know, a story being run that somebody drinks aquarium cleaner dies, and then they want to blame the president. That when that comes out, then that should be what, the editor, the management suspending the journalist or retracting the article. How should it work in real life? What should the course of action be?
One of the things that is lost in this profession is the art of retraction. We don't correct our mistakes. We don't own up to them. We don't address them. We move on and pretend it just tweeted away into a universe that doesn't exist anymore. That further erodes our credibility. And, you know, I still go back. Let's go back to the Russia story, which I'm so acutely aware of because of the reporting I did. There are 20 or 30 major publications who wrote authoritative stories about collusion that have been completely debunked. And the right thing to do is to retract those stories.
Yes.
And they haven't done that. And I'm talking about places like the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN. So the fact that we've gotten away from a core solution to our errors, we're going to make mistakes when you're a journalist. It's not a perfect profession. But when you make the mistake, fixing it is the more important thing. And throughout the last 4 years, I've seen a profession make repeated mistakes, usually to the detriment, not always, but usually to the detriment of President Trump, and they're not corrected. that doesn't serve us well, and it creates a pattern for the future that deeply disturbs me.
Usually to the detriment of the president, to the tune, I think it was the Media Research Center, 92% of the coverage of the president was negative, and that's why we need new outlets like John Solomon's JustTheNews.com. Follow him, J. Solomon Reports. He will be with us again in a moment here on America First. But in the meantime, if you've exhausted every episode of Star Trek, if you can't find anything else to binge watch, I've got something for you. If you're getting cooped up and cabin fever's driving you crazy, watch my colleague Dennis Prager's new film. It's called No Safe Spaces, co-hosted with the great Adam Carolla. It's about the danger of political correctness and what to do about it. And of course, Netflix and Amazon aren't going to play it, but you can watch it now at nosafespaces.com. I've seen it. It's excellent. It includes special appearances by the likes of Jordan Peterson, Tim Allen, and Ben Shapiro. Go to nosafespaces.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Back with John Solomon of Just the News here in a moment. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and the battle for 1600.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Job Creators Network.
Finally, the situation about ventilators. We were reassured in meeting with our colleagues in New York that there are still ICU beds remaining, and there's still significant over 1,000 or 2,000 ventilators that have not been utilized yet. Please, for the reassurance of people around the world, to wake up this morning and look at people talking about creating DNR situations, do not resuscitate situations for patients. There is no situation in the United States right now that warrants that kind of discussion. But to say that to the American people, to make the implication that when they need a hospital bed, it's not going to be there, or when they need that ventilator, it's not going to be there. We don't have an evidence of that right now.
That was Dr. Deborah Birx last night at the White House coronavirus response team briefing. People are lying, and the president's team is backing him up on the lies and calling them out. He has worked for the AP, for the Washington Post, for The Hill, and now he is the founder and president of an amazing new news source. It's called Just the News. He is, of course, our favorite, John Solomon. Follow him at J. Solomon Reports. I've just posted on my Twitter feed and my Facebook feed, John, this unbelievable article you sent me last night. So we're having this crazy thing that Z-Pak as a cocktail used with hydroxychloroquine seems to have. We're gonna have one of the patients who was cured by it on the show in the next segment, and NIH hasn't tested it. But what else have they been spending money on, John?
Well, that's the important thing. Since 2003, when there was the SARS outbreak, there was clear evidence that coronavirus might react to chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine or Z-Pak. And everybody said, we've got to look at this. And then a couple more corona outbreaks occurred. We never took the time to get a clinical trial. And so we wrote a series of stories explaining how that happened. How did the premier agency in America, NIH, fail to do these tests? And the answer is they bet on the wrong pandemic. They decided, oh, it's going to be a seasonal flu that's going to go crazy, that's going to knock everybody out. Well, it's going to be a flu pandemic, and no one bothered to look at coronavirus. And the argument they made was we didn't have enough money to study two pandemic scenarios. Now, that's hysterical. NIH gets $40 billion a year. They have plenty of money. They could do 10 pandemics.
So what kind of, what do they spend that $40 billion on, John Solomon?
What were they spending it on the time when they failed to do these tests on coronavirus solutions? They were spending it on things like getting monkeys drunk for 6 years to determine what happens to them. Well, it's a short answer. They become alcoholics and their tissue gets degraded. They would study things like if you text message a college student before they went to a tailgate party, might they stop drinking a little bit less? Or my all-time favorite, do you lose more money gambling if you drink before you start gambling? I don't understand, and I don't think the American taxpayer understands why those would get millions of dollars of studies when we could have been studying chloroquine or something else that would come in handy in the very crisis that we find ourselves in now. And the most amazing thing, in 2016, one of the most famous epidemiologists in the world from Harvard stood up in the middle of the NIH and told all of the researchers around him, you know what? 87.5% of the studies we do are completely wasteful. They're bad science. They're duplicative. And in many cases, you get a grant and you don't even write your final study findings. It's an outrage. We're taking people's health for granted when we do this sort of waste. And nothing happened.
And that quote is what your article opens with, correct?
It does. That's where it starts with, you know, one of their own researchers themselves foreseeing what could happen. One day someone would look back and we're going to have wasted all this money on silly research, and we didn't study the big things that matter to the American public, like what to do in a pandemic with coronavirus.
Unbelievable. But that's why we need your new platform so much. It's called justthenews.com. And that latest article is NIH failed to test coronavirus drugs, studied drunk monkeys, soap operas, and tailgating instead. Keep doing what you do, my friend, and thank you for joining us today. He is John Solomon. Follow him at J Solomon Reports. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're going to be talking to one of the people who is convinced that the hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pak combination saved his life. He will be with us next here on America First. But before that, now, more than ever, our health is priority number one. You've got to exercise. You've got to get a good night's sleep. But also, you've got to eat well. If you're cheating, I had a cheeseburger. Don't tell anybody I had a cheeseburger for lunch today. But it's okay. Why? Because I take my Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature is the product that is literally health in your hand. What Dr. Douglas Howard has created is truly remarkable. 6 little capsules you take during the day, 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables, that are the equivalent of 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables, including the things you may hate as much as I do, like spinach and kale. But this is the way you can take it all and stay healthy and boost your immunity as well. If you use my name and order it right now, you'll get 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com. But either way, you've got to use the secret code G-O-R-K-A. Do it now. The call board is full. Sophia, Ken, Jerry, Brent, V, don't go anywhere. We're going to take your calls. But next, we're going to talk to a man who's been through the coronavirus horror and survived thanks to 2 drugs the president thinks are game changers.
Space, the final frontier.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Have I been promoted? Am I an admiral now? No, I'm just your humble host, Sebastian Gorka, but we're all Trekkies, and don't give me the Trekkers v. Trekkies argument. Okay? One team. Okay, so we have some great supporters that make our shows possible. One of them is the Job Creators Network, and they have a special request to those who are on the tough side
of the lockdown right now, if you are an owner of a small business, if you work for a small business, please call this show. They want to hear your voice. They want you to share your stories and opinions about how elected officials can help you better. Why? Because small businesses are crucial to the survival of this country. Think about just these figures. Small businesses employ 60 million Americans. That's nearly 50% of all jobs, and there are more than 30 million small businesses. Ironically, small businesses are too big to fail. Call our number, 833-334-6752, to share your stories so we can get them to the Job Creators Network. That's 833-334-6732. 6752. Let me do that again. My writing is appalling. I don't know why the nuns couldn't teach me how to write. 833-334-6752 to share your stories. Now, my gosh, wow, what a guest we have for you. We want to give you as much of the primary source material, the facts that you need, as we can get to you. And we've managed to establish contact, thank you, Mr. G, with a man who knows more than most about what the coronavirus, the Chinese virus, means to American health. And that is Mr. Rio Giardinieri. He is a resident of Miami Shores, Florida. He's 52 years old. He's the vice president of a cooking equipment company. And Mr. Giardinieri, you caught the coronavirus, correct?
Sure did, in a big way.
When did you contract it? When did you realize that you were seriously ill?
Didn't realize it until March 13th or so. But I was in L.A. and out in New York at the International Food and Restaurant Show, March 8th through the 10th. So that's as near as I can tell where I would have caught it.
And then what happened? You started getting the flu-like symptoms. Walk us through your experience of the Wuhan coronavirus.
I completed my business when I came back to Miami, had a conference down here, took some folks to the airport Thursday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and was driving home. Just remember being really just like washed out. And that's not my MO at all. I'm a guy that gets 5 hours sleep a night and have my entire adult life. And I went home and just laid down and then didn't get up until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Seemed very odd, but I said, well, okay, maybe I'm wiped out. And I'm sitting there and realized that, you know, I feel like I have a fever. So my wife checked, and sure enough, I was running about 101 to 102 fever that evening. Just took some meds and went to sleep and thought, you know, when I wake up, I'll feel better. The next day, I woke up, checked, still had the fever, had a headache, and a little bit of pain on my back. You know, it wasn't too bad. And then I slept another 15 hours that day. And, highly unusual. Doesn't even begin to explain that one. And when I got back up later that evening, my back was really killing me. The headache was very pronounced. And, again, checked the fever. It was still there. About 3 days into it, I started calling the doctors and urgent care in the hospitals, which were all telling me at that point, you know, please don't come in. We don't have any way to treat it, and we don't have any way to test it. So another couple of days went by, and it was pretty much Groundhog Day. Same thing, fever, headache, back pain, and I started with the coughing. And you just can't stop coughing. It's crazy. I never did get the sore throat that a lot of people get. But on the fifth day, I received a phone call telling me that there was a hospital nearby that had a testing kit. So my wife and I got in the car and drove over to the hospital. And as I'm coming up to the ER, I was sweating like crazy, just wasn't feeling good at all. And they sensed that. And as my wife explains it, that I almost passed out as I was going up to the desk. And they took me into the ER. Where they did EKGs and started checking me to find out what's going on. I think they pretty much knew what was going on and took me up to an isolation ward. They put me in isolation, and they treated me for a couple of days with antibiotics and everything that they, you know, that they would typically go through.
So you tested positive for the coronavirus, and then there was a point at which you thought, this is it, you're going to die. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, 2 days later, they told me that I had pneumonia and COVID-19. I was in isolation, and you know, it just progressed. I mean,
we've only got a minute left in this segment, and okay. Then I need to confirm. Oh, yeah. You found a doctor who said hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin might help, and you were administered that cocktail, correct?
Yeah, so it was recommended to me by a friend. I asked the doctor. The doctor got connected with the infectious disease doctor who authorized it. 30 minutes later, they gave it to me. That was at 6:30 at night on Friday. And at 4:45 in the morning, I woke up with no fever, and the symptoms were going away.
The same day?
10 hours later.
That's incredible. And then how long was it before you left the hospital?
I think it was 4 more days.
So when the president says this could be a game changer for you, Mr. Giardinieri, this was a game changer that you think saved your life?
Absolutely no question in my mind.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing your story, because this is what America needs to know. When you have journalists, you have media organs saying that aquarium cleaning agent is the medicine the president's talking about and it's killing people, that is rank and irresponsible. Here you have the real story from a man who thought he was going to die, and this combination of hydroxychloroquine and Z-Pak saved his life. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today, sir. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network across the nation, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, natural pain relief that has zero side effects and actually attacks the source of the pain, which is the inflammation. I've taken Relief Factor now for 16 months. It has rid me of my 9-year-long lower back pain in just 2 weeks. After my recent knee surgery, I trebled my intake of Relief Factor, and I got off those synthetic painkillers as fast as I could, because this is a remarkable product that is giving relief to tens of thousands of Americans right now. See their video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. Find out if Relief Factor could liberate you from your daily pain. There's a reason that my colleagues, people of such renown as Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, and Larry Elder, all stand by this product, as do I. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Order it today. Your call's next here on America First, 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Sound off on your experiences, your expectations of the current situation we find ourselves in as we face down the Chinese virus.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
I have an important announcement to make. People have emailed me, texted me, who are in a position to assist our nation. One of you, you know who you are, makes medical tubing for the ventilators. And you're asking me, how do we get it to the government? How do we help? I just got an email today. If you are in a position to sell medical supplies or equipment to the federal government, send the details to the following email address: covidsupplies@fema.dhs.gov. If you are in a position, if you're a manufacturer, the email is covidsupplies@fema.dhs.gov. If you are a private company that wants to produce a product, like you heard the great Mike Lindell yesterday, to produce a product related to the COVID response, email this address, NBEOC. I'm going to do that phonetically, okay? November, Bertie, Echo, Oscar, Charlie, NBEOC@max.gov. If you can support this effort, those are the places you start. Let's go to your calls now. Let's go to JR, Columbus, Ohio, line 5, waiting very patiently. Welcome back, JR.
Hey, Dr. G. Well, thanks for being a voice of calm during all this. I know that you understand what it's like for a person like me, married, two children in high school, and, you know, all you're doing is stuck at home, and there's worry and there's doubt. But we do listen to you every day.
Thank you.
Absolutely. But I think there's millions of people listening to you, and I think that brings calm to their life and truth to their life. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
And that's my comment. That's it.
That's very kind. Very kind. Switch off the fake news and listen to people you can trust. God bless you, JR, and thanks for listening with your family. Somebody else who I think listens quite a bit is Brent, our good buddy in Los Angeles. Welcome back, Brent.
Thank you, great patriot Gorka.
All right, we've got a minute for you, Brent. Share your wisdom. Share your alliterative wisdom.
As a Jewish American senior citizen...
You're not a senior citizen.
I am.
You do not resemble that remark. Go ahead.
I normally don't divulge that, but I think it applies here. And Easter isn't early enough to unenslave America. I want my people let go before Passover. And I'm infinitely more fearful of progressive democratic fascism than I'll ever be of any flu. And I feel bound not by the Bible alone, but by the words of Patrick Henry proclaiming, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death."
Whether you're celebrating Passover or Easter, this is a very powerful message from our friend Brent. We must not re-enslave ourselves with bigger government when we come out the other side of this. And that's what the president's trying to prevent. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Don't touch that dial.